you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point. If you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. And you can catch us here every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can get us on your radio dial at Heaven 97 KHVN in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. Or you can get us streaming live over the internet at true-church.org. It is a blessing and a privilege to come before you once again. And I would like to inform you that all of these broadcasts that we do every week, week after week, we put them up on true-church.org for a free download. So you don't have to mail in any money or anything. It's a free download. We want you to get these messages and sermons in your iPods and your recorders, whatever, on your computer so you can listen to them and allow this word of God to sink in and really make a difference in your life. We are offering these free of charge. Of course, we would love to have your gifts and donations, and those of you that have been faithful to send in tithes and offerings and donations and different things, we appreciate you so much here on A True Church Perspective. You are the reason why we're here. You keep us going. To God be the glory for your efforts to support this ministry. But we also offer all of these messages for a free download at true-church.org. So you can go there and listen to all of them. The ones where we started beginning of last year, all the way up until now, they're all available for a free download. So we want to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Some things on our website, EX Ministries, we can't give away free because we have to keep the ministry going, and it costs money to keep it going. But thank God for those that donate and support us that have made the broadcast of A True Church Perspective available for free. It's because of the love, gifts, and offerings and different things that people have given that we are able to pay for this broadcast and offer you the sermons as a free download. So I just thank God for an Independence Day. This is the 4th of July, what we consider in our nation Independence Day, the day where, you know, Thomas Jefferson made the most famous statement of all times: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are the three things that the American dream is made up of. And we just thank God for our independence here, the little bit we have left of it, as far as us being, you know, having the freedom of religion and all those different things that come as a part of being an American citizen. I just thank God for those freedoms. Some people can't even get on the radio and preach what I'm preaching right now where they live. So I thank God for that. Last week, we talked about walking out deliverance. We talked about walking it out, and I got a lot of responses and a lot of support from people that it really blessed. You know, growing up, sometimes we grow up around people that kind of, you know, they have a good heart and they meant well, but they kind of misinterpreted some scriptures and different things. So you know, they thought that walking out deliverance was something that you could see. And it was about how you dressed and how you looked and, you know, whether or not you wore makeup, or if you're a woman, whether you wore pants, or, you know, it, different things like that. They really believed that those were symbols of holiness. And if you looked a certain way, then you were holy. But the saddest part about that is usually when you find a lot of that, where people are real strict on what you look like and different things, you're going to find a bunch of homosexuals and lesbians as well, because, you know, they're going to hide in that legalism. They love legalism. They love when, you know, people are hardcore about how you look and how you dress and different things and how the music's supposed to sound, how these different things. You know, when you get like that, then you're just opening the door, opening the floodgates. You're going to see a whole lot of homosexual activity and all of that because, you know, homosexuals love to hide in a bunch of shouting and a bunch of music and different things. So you got to be careful how you portray God and his holiness movement. But when we're talking about walking out deliverance, we're not talking about something that you can see on the outside as much as we're talking about what's happening on the inside, the desire. It's that desire to please God that will cause someone to put on the right clothes. It's that desire to be in Christ that will cause someone to live a lifestyle that is pleasing unto him. It's that desire to do right, to be righteous, to be placed in a right standing with God. It's those things that's going to change the heart of a man. And once you change the heart of the man or the woman, you don't have to worry about the outside. You don't have to worry about how they're looking and how they're dressed. You don't have to, you know, make a hardcore effort to change somebody's clothes and different things if you can change the inside. And I think that is very important. That's what we've tried to do all these years, even with the truth behind hip hop. You know, we understand the thug and the sagging and the grills and the tattoos and all that. And I'm saying, you know, those things are a part of that subcultural mindset. But if you could ever get to the heart of that person and change the heart of that person, I've seen thousands upon thousands of people that come in line and want the curse and the spell of their tattoos broken. They throw the grills out of their mouth and pull their pants up and they don't even want to be a part of that lifestyle anymore. Why? Because God has done something to their inside. So, you know, it doesn't benefit us to just deal with the outside of man. That's like throwing knives in the water trying to scale fish and you haven't even caught those fish. So let's let the power of God convict the heart of men. Once the power of God convicts the heart of men, then that person can begin to walk their deliverance out. There are many of us that have come through trials and tribulations, a lot of things from our childhood, a lot of unfair things, a lot of harmful things, hurtful things have happened to us. And so when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, Christ is going to rescue us from these things. He's going to change our mind. He's going to renew it. But we have to understand this is something a lot of times that he's doing daily. He's renewing our minds daily. He's changing us daily. And it takes time for some people to make it through this deliverance process, to walk through deliverance. It takes time sometimes. You know, I know a lot of us wish that somebody could just lay their hands on us and the demon just come out and we just never have those desires ever again. But it doesn't work that way all the time. Sometimes it's going to take time to deal with mindsets and to transform hearts and different things. Yeah, in the spirit, those things happen instantaneously. But in the natural, it takes time. Jude 24 tells us, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory. So the first thing we need to get to understand in walking out deliverance is that it is God who keeps us from falling, not ourselves. We talked about that last week. Not our willpower. It is God that keeps us from falling. So as long as we walk in Christ and walk in his spirit, then we can stop falling. And for those of us that have fallen and those of us that have struggled and those of us that have had sin in our lives, he is able to present us faultless. How? Because he gave his life to present you faultless. So we understand this. We're getting this picture that it's Jesus's death on the cross that saves us and that cleanses us from unrighteousness. And it is us walking in the spirit of God that keeps us from walking out the sins of the flesh. Let's understand these things real quick. Let me go through them because I believe on this Independence Day, we're celebrating liberty. Liberty from the rule, the British rule, the British authority telling us what to do, how to spend our money, those kinds of things, even though technically they still doing that. But according to, you know, our holiday that we're celebrating, we want to believe that we have liberty from those that ruled over us. Well, in the spirit realm, there is liberty from sin. Sin no longer rules over you. Here are some things I want to point out about walking in deliverance that I didn't cover last week. Very important things. First point, when you're born again, you are no longer a slave to sin. In other words, you are liberated from sin. Sin is no longer your master, but you are now sin's master. I love the passage in Genesis 4 and 7 when Cain's countenance had fallen because his gift was not received by God, but Abel's was. God came and spoke spoke to Cain and said, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted? If you do not do well, guess what? Sin is crouching at the door. Why is sin crouching? Because sin is ready to jump and pounce on you and take control of you. According to this scripture, this is what it is saying. It's saying that its desire is for you, but you must master it. I love that passage because God is saying that sin has a desire to master you, but you must take control and master sin. In other words, take control of this situation, Cain. Fix this situation. If you do well, don't you know I'll be pleased with you and your countenance can be lifted. But if you don't do well, what do you expect, Cain? And that is what God is saying. And that is what we must realize as being born again. If we do well, blessings will come. But if we don't do well, if we don't do what's right, if we continue to fall into sin, guess what? Sin becomes our master. Romans 6:16 says, whoever you yield yourself servant to obey, whether you're doing good or bad, you're going to become a slave to that. So we must be mastered by Christ. We must be mastered by God, and we must not let sin master us. The second point I want to bring out, striving for a sin-free life is our goal as a believer. Listen to what I'm saying. It's our goal to daily strive for a sin-free life. Oh, when we get the can't help it, and when the freaks come out at night, and when all these different things come to plague us with sin, it is our objective as a believer to strive to live free from sin and stand at that moment. Now, this is not to earn salvation, but it's to overcome life's obstacles and show God's power in the earth. Having a form of godliness but denying the power is actually those that want to look like they're saved and look like they're, you know, holiness, and, you know, they look a certain way. They don't dress a certain way. But what's going on the inside? Have you really overcome sin? Are you really living sin free? And I'm not saying every church is like that. There are some people that have decided to look a certain way. That's their prerogative. God bless you. Live the life that God has called you to live. But don't condemn others for not looking like you, or don't condemn others because, like I said last week, we're all just one sin away from sinning. Now, we can't earn salvation by the way we look. We can't earn salvation by works that we're doing. It's not about that, but we do the works. We look a certain way. We walk a certain way, and we don't practice sin because of the inward working of the power of God. So to really show God's power in the earth, your insides need to change, and the inside will definitely change the outside. Titus 3:5 tells us it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy. He saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So it's his mercy. It's the mercy that he has for us. It's his love that he has for us that saves us, not works. So we're not performing works. We're not living a sin-free life to try to merit something, to try to merit and win a prize of righteousness and look holier than somebody. No, we do these things. We practice holiness. We look the way we look, and we act the way we act. We dress the way we dress. We serve God the way we serve God, and we try our best to walk sin-free because it is our reasonable service to do that. We do that so that our lives can be better, so that our children don't have to be plagued with sin, so that our families can have a godly legacy birth, and that we can live a better life, because sin, the wages of sin, is always death. The third thing I want to bring out about this, those that practice sin are not born of God. Living it and accepting a lifestyle of sin with no repentance is a sure sign that something is wrong. What is repentance? That is turning. That is turning from it. That is changing. That is when you stop doing it. That is not saying I'm sorry. That's not just, you know, sinning and Lord forgive me, Lord forgive me, Lord forgive me. No. Repentance is to turn. So if you're practicing sin and not repenting of your sin, then you are not born of God. 1 John 3:6 says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. 1 John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. What is John telling us here? And I know people hear this and say, whoa, wait a minute now. I make mistakes. I sin. Whoa. No, you don't understand the difference between the word sin and sinneth. What John is saying when he says sinneth, he's saying practicing sin or living a lifestyle of sin. This is why you cannot sit in church and practice a lifestyle. Your lifestyle is made up of sin. That means when you wake up in the morning, you got to go sin. And when you go to bed at night, you're thinking of sin. You're always thinking of something evil to do. That means you have not been properly or truly born of God. Because if you are truly born of God, then you sinneth not. That means you do not practice sin. Sure, we all make mistakes. Sure, sometimes we get caught up in sin. Sure, sometimes we fall. Yeah, those things happen. Why? Because we're in an earthly body. We were born into sin. This is a struggle. Sometimes we're struggling with things that were done to us in our childhood. Sometimes we got all kinds of issues and different things. This is what the church of God is for. This is why we come to get changed and renewed and set free. We have our minds renewed daily. Paul said, I die daily. This is a daily walk. We walk out deliverance. That means that this is something we have to constantly stay on top of. Those things happen, but we don't get comfortable with it. We don't lay down and practice sin. We don't choose sin as our mode of operation. We do not choose sin as a lifestyle. We can't practice sin and be born of God. That is what John is saying. So we have these three things as far as walking out deliverance. Y'all, I want you to really, really get this, because I believe these things will help you in your daily walk, especially understanding sin and sinneth. Now, we don't use it as an occasion to sin because we know God is going to forgive us. Paul said, God forbid, how can ye that are born of God and born free from sin be bound any longer therein? How can you stay in the sin if God has delivered you out of the sin? So we have to remember walking out deliverance. We want to make our lives better. We want to make things better for our children. Don't you know that when you walk in sin, when you live in sin, you're not just hurting yourself, you're not just hurting your body, but you're hurting the entire body. If we are members of the entire body of Christ, we're all members one to another. If we're all yoked together as believers, we're all joined together. So your sin hurts the entire body of Christ if you decide to live a lifestyle of practicing sin. And not just that, but look at your family, look at your children, look at your wife, your husband, the people that you are hurting with your sin, and not to mention God, who detests it. God doesn't want you on the devil's side and then claiming him. He doesn't want you working for the enemy, and then he doesn't want you opening yourself up for demonic infestation. He wants you free from sin so you can live the life that he has called you to live. You can live the purpose that he desires for you to live, and you can walk according to his plan and not the enemy's plan. Let me cover this as I bring this to a close. The ABCs of deliverance. It is that simple to walk out deliverance. ABC. It is that simple. A, admit. The first thing you have to do is admit to God, God, I have a problem. This is what we do when we come to God. God, I've been in sin. Lord, I've been living a life that is not pleasing unto you. So you come to God and confess your sin. But even after you are saved and there are things that you've done, you can't appear perfect to God. That is an insult to God. You trivialize the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus when you come to God trying to be good. When you come to God, even Jesus himself, when the rich young ruler came to him and said, good master, he said, why are you calling me good? There is only one good. And what Jesus was saying was, as long as I'm in this flesh, you can't call me good, because there's no good thing that dwelleth in the flesh. So we have to be careful when we come to God. We can't come to God arrogantly, and we can't come to God thinking that because we have lived sin free and we don't have any sin that God owes us something. We can't come to him like that, because there is none righteous. No, not one. But all of our righteousness, according to Isaiah, is as filthy rags, and we all fade as the leaf. And and our iniquity. So the Bible is clear here and letting us know we can't be arrogant. And a lot of times when we dress a certain way or when we portray holiness on the outside, it makes us feel holier than the folks that don't look like us or think like us. But the Bible, Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, don't you know that the publicans and the harlots are going to make it in before some of y'all? In other words, y'all are labeling them because of the way they look or because of the way they're behaving. But don't you know that one day I'll convict them and change them and they'll make it in quicker than you will, those of you that are judging them because you think you're better than them. This is one way we cannot come to God. We can't come to God like that, but we have to admit to God that we have a problem. Something is wrong. We're no good. God, you are good. So keep making us better. Bring us to a level of perfection. Save us and fix us and cleanse us from unrighteousness. It is you that keeps us from falling. It is you that present us faultless before the presence of his glory. James 5 and 16 says something very powerful. It says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, what is he saying here? Well, when you admit to God that there is a struggle in your life and you need his help, it is good to find someone that you can trust that has a relationship with God that could really help you and admit your problem to them. It is good to go to someone and confess your faults that you could pray with this person and build an earthly relationship to deal with the struggle you may be dealing with. Yeah, we have a heavenly relationship with God, but God put men on earth. He gave us brothers and sisters, and he's saying right here in James to confess your faults one to another. Now, this doesn't mean get up before the church. Y'all, I slept with brother so-and-so, and I slept with sister so-and-so. I'm not saying that. I don't believe in none of that. I believe that is the wrong way to handle any situation. I don't believe in that, but I do believe that we should confess our faults to someone that we can trust and they can help us work through these situations. You have to be accountable to someone, whether it's your husband, your wife, close friend, minister, pastor, leader, someone that you can be accountable to that you really, really trust now, not just some old jive person, you know, that'll exploit your problem. You go to him saying, you know, I struggle with homosexuality and he's gay. You know, you don't go to him for that problem because then he goes, well, it's time for the laying on of hands. You know how that goes. So we don't even want to deal with that, but we want to make sure we go to someone we can trust because there's a healing in that that takes place. And when somebody's looking over you or holding you accountable one to another, then you can have extra help as you deal with the earthly side of things in the flesh. That is the A, admit. The B is believe. Believe that in spite of how wrong you've been, Jesus loves you more than his own life, and he desires freedom for you. Don't you understand? Jesus gave his life for this very reason, because you are wrong, because you are bad, because you've been unrighteous, because you have sinned, because you have fallen short. Jesus took on all of those inconsistencies in your behavior, and he took them all on the cross for you so that you could be saved and would not have to pay the penalty for your own sin. That is incredible love. He loved you enough. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend. So the ultimate, the greatest love of all, and that, I know that disagrees with what Whitney Houston said, but she lied in that song, and y'all need to quit singing it in church, definitely. But the greatest love of all is to lay down your life for the one you love, and that is what Jesus did. He laid down his life so you would not be responsible for the penalty of your sin. So you have to believe that in spite of how wrong you've been, there's hope. There is hope. Hope. There is hope because Jesus died for you. There is hope for you, no matter how wrong, no matter what you've been into, no matter how long you've been into it, no matter how long you've done it, there is hope. But you got to believe it. That is the B of deliverance. And the C of the ABCs of deliverance, you got to call it out. Now, this is very important because death and life is in the power of our tongue, the way we speak, our language, what we say. You can learn a lot. I'm very good at that. God has gifted me in that area to listen to what people are saying and read what they really mean. You got to be careful what you're saying and how you're saying it. And you have to make sure in the case of deliverance that you're saying the right thing. You got to be speaking your deliverance. You got to believe it. You got to call it. Even though you don't see it, you got to still call it. You got to call it as being so. You must speak what you want to see and have faith that your deliverance is in your path. Don't you know your words can form your environment and your words can manipulate your environment? So your words are powerful. Why are your words so powerful? Because you are powerful. You're a powerful being in earth. You have dominion in the earth. And because of that dominion, when you open your mouth, you can call things that aren't as though they are. So the ABCs of deliverance: admit that there is something wrong, admit it to God, and then admit it to someone you're accountable to. Believe that there is hope for you to get out of this situation. I don't care what it is. I don't care what your uncles did and your father and your mother did. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what you've done. It may be homosexuality, lesbianism. It may be stealing, lying, cheating. Whatever your struggle has been, you got to believe that Jesus paid the price for it and deliverance can come. And then you got to call it to be. You got to call it out so that you can walk it out. You can't walk it unless you call it first. You got to call it out and say, now unto him that is able to keep me from falling and present me faultless before the presence of his glory. Guess what? With exceeding joy. Now, if you're down in the dumps and depressed and the enemy's got you feeling bad because you keep falling and you keep running, you got to get out of that. You got to get out of that depression. You got to call it not so and say, I will not be depressed behind this. I will not let this defeat me. I will not do this, but by the power of God, I will have exceeding joy as I walk out this deliverance. As he keeps me from falling, I'm going to have joy about it. As he presents me faultless, I'm going to have joy about it. In other words, that's the opposite of depression. I won't be depressed and oppressed by it, but I will have exceeding joy about it. To the only wise God, our Savior. Don't you understand? God has made a provision for this. God has fixed this thing so that all you have to do is admit it, believe it, and then call it, and you can walk out your deliverance. Your deliverance is a sure thing. Just do it. Do what God has called you to do. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for this message, God. I thank you for this Independence Day, Lord. I thank you for liberty. I thank you for saving us from our sins. I thank you for dying for us. And God, I thank you for maturing us, God, to the point to where, Lord, we know that sin is wrong and we should not partake in it. We know that we shouldn't live a lifestyle of sin. We know that you're not pleased with that. So God, you've given us provision to come out of sin, to live for you, live right before you. You've given us provision. You've given us a method to walk out deliverance. God, and it's not about how we look on the outside all the time. It's about what's going on the inside. Lord, the outside is just telling a story that we got to fix what is on the inside first. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for all those that are listening, that this message will help. Help them walk out their deliverance. Help them be free from sin. Help them have a clean temple. Help them, God, to live according to your standards and not the world's standards, God. And we're not doing it to earn salvation from you, but we're doing it because you've given salvation unto us. So we thank you and praise you for our deliverance in Jesus' name. And we'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.